Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew continues in the Bible series in the book of James with this message entitled, Thy Will Be Done, preached April the 27th, 2014. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to James chapter 4, verse 13.
Thy will be done. Friends, there are only two classes of people in the world. Those who say, my will be done, and those who say, thy will be done. Those who are autonomous and those who are truly godly. Those who are autonomous, they say, I did it my way. Those who are pious say, I did it God's way. Autonomous people are deceived by the devil. Friends, either you are a child of the devil or you are a redeemed child of God. There are no truly autonomous people in the world. Either you obey your father, the devil, or your father in heaven. Either you have confidence in yourself, or you have faith in Jesus Christ. Either you trust in God, or you trust in gold. Vast majority of people are children of the devil according to the scripture. John 8:44, you belong to your father the devil and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies and when you lie, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. And John the Apostle said in 1 John 3:8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And St. Paul says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and thank God, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I want to ask you, who is your father? And you can answer it by answering the second question. Whose will are you doing? May God help us to say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done by us on earth as it is in heaven. Point number one. My will be done. James calls us in verse 13 and 14, come now. That's an imperative. He calls us to listen to him. He will speak to us the wisdom of God. He will tell us how we must live in this sinful world. He calls believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ who are not living a holy life. Sometimes Christians live like pagans. Though they profess Christ, sometimes they live the life of practical atheism. They lean on to their own understanding. Psalm 10 verse 4 says, in his pride the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God. And Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your life a success. In James 4:13, James gives expression to the pride of Christians who are not walking in the way of God. Gives expression to the planning of professing Christian businessmen. And James is reading their mind. They are saying, we will go today or tomorrow. We will go into a specific city, pointing to a map. There we will work for a year. There we will trade and we will make money. That's the bottom line. Money. They are totally confident of the future. Their idea is this: with all the money we make, we will buy a large estate in Galilee and live like the rich man of Luke 16 without having to work. What a great retirement. So we read in Luke 16, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. This is their goal. Jesus warned about serving money. He said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, money. And we like it. This country loves it. Mammon. St. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. James also speaks about the arrogance of wealth. And James 1 verse 10 and 11, James 5, 1 through 6, you can go home and read it. Apostle John also warns us. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of things, boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Today, people come to America, legally or illegally, to make a lot of money or to be taken care of by the government. Friends, James is not rebuking people for planning or working or making money. Jesus worked as a carpenter and made money to support the family. Jesus had to pay temple tax, and he paid for himself. And St. Peter, with a 4-drachma coin, took from the mouth of the first fish Peter caught at the direction of Jesus. Jesus himself was supported by people who were financially well off. Luke 8:1-4. But remember, Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He owned nothing. He was the Lord of all. He created all, maintains all, but he owned nothing. He was the happiest person ever lived in the face of the earth. Friends, it is true, without money we cannot live. And God provides with sufficient money when we work 6 days a week. James is rebuking a godless self-confidence of these merchants. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. We need God most of all. So he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Pride blinds us to reality, especially the reality of God. So we read in Luke 17, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. They didn't think about God, sir. God was not in their thinking. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. And Jesus says in Matthew 16:26, what does it profit? What does it profit, sir? If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you are a fool. And in Luke 12:15, we read, watch out against greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We have our plan, and God has his plan concerning us. We are not to do our plan. We are to seek God's plan for us and do it and prosper. In Isaiah 56:12, come each one, Christ, let me get wine, let us drink our fill of beer. Tomorrow will be like today or even far better. Look at what the bumper crop farmer did. He said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool! Are there any fools who hear my voice? You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. And who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Friends, there is a way we think. We think is God's way, but it is not. Proverbs 16:3-25, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. In verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Genesis 3, Adam didn't check with God. He sinned. He didn't have God in his mind. See what happened. Genesis 16, Abraham listens to Sarai. And you go home and read what happened. Your plan without God will destroy you. They wanted to build a city, Babel. and God came down and destroyed it. Friends, true happiness is not in lots of money. It is found in God alone. So the psalmist says in Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." There was a great man by name Harry Ironside. And this is what he said a century ago. "Alas, how much he sacrificed for money, Christian fellowship, the joys of gathering at the table of the Lord, gospel work, and privileges of mutual edification and instruction in divine things, all are parted with often simply because the opportunity arises of adding a few paltry dollars to the monthly income and savings. Brethren with families even will leave a town or city where the spiritual support and fellowship of their brethren is found and where their children have the privilege of the gospel meeting and the Sunday school, and simply because they see or fancy they see an opportunity to better their earthly circumstances. Alas, in many instances they miss all they had hoped for and lose spiritually what is never regained." Money, sir. People who do not seek God, such people are ignorant of reality. God is the ultimate reality. They are ignorant of their own frailty. They are ignorant of their continuous dependence on God. Friends, without God, no one can exist. These self-confident merchants who made their plans without God knew nothing about what would happen the next day. We do not control anything, let alone the future. God controls the future. God alone is sovereign. He alone does what He pleases. We do not know what would happen tomorrow, though we confidently made plans about tomorrow as well as for a year. Not only that, we don't know the real truth about our own life. We are ephemeral, we are for a day. We are like the wild flower James spoke about in chapter 1, 10 through 11. We are like mist, vapor, breath that appears a little while and then disappears. Friends, as fallen creatures, we are born to die. Some may live for a day and others 70 or 80 years, but a life full of pain and suffering. Then we must die due to illnesses, accidents, plagues, wars, terrorism, and so on. Our epitaph will show only two dates, birth and death. What is man? Proud man! Rich man! What is man? Proverbs 27 verse 1, we read, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Psalm 39 6, "Man is a mere phantom. As he goes to and fro, he bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it." Psalm 102 verse 3, "For my days vanish like smoke, my bones burn like glowing embers." Psalm 103, "As for man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like flower of the field, the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." Psalm 78, verse 39, "He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return. So Moses taught us in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Belshazzar, the playboy of Babylon, remember him? He thought he could blaspheme the living God and live long. Then God wrote on the wall about his destiny, many, many tekel upharsin. The same night, he was killed. Nabal, the fool, mocked God's king David, and he was killed by God himself, by a heart attack. He failed to have God in his thinking. Every man, friends, since the fall is a dying man. We come and we go in God's appointed time to our eternal home. Either we die in Christ and go to heaven, or we die in our sins and go to eternal misery, as the rich man of Luke 16 did, who trusted in his wealth and ignored the Messiah revealed in the law and the prophets. He was a fool. Many things about tomorrow I just don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. The second point, thy will be done. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 103. What do we learn from the third petition in the Lord's Prayer? Which is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the answer. We pray that God by his grace would make us able and willing to know, to obey, and to submit to his will in all things as the angels do in heaven. Instead, the godless, the self-confident, the foolish presume regarding the future. We should plan, sir. There is nothing wrong with planning. God's people ought to plan. But they ought to add to their plan the key qualifier. Ean ho kurios telese, if the Lord wills. That is, if our Lord Jesus Christ wills. If our glorious Lord Jesus Christ wills, whose happy slaves we are, James 1:1. We are to know his will, love his will, and do his will all of our very short life. If the Lord wills. That's not a talisman, some magic phrase you tack onto your plan and pretend that God will take care of you. No, it has to be God's plan. And you pray and make, oh God, reveal to me your plan in reference to this issue. Jesus commanded us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, our cross daily, and follow him. We are to pray, not my will but thine be done. And God's will is revealed in the book, the sacred scriptures, the Bible. We are to read it daily and know, obey, and submit to God's will in all of life. The light of the scripture will guide our feet in this dark world. Isaiah 30, verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Parents are to teach it to their children. Parents are to live by the scripture before them. The children are to grow up to become godly and live in obedience to God's will. The godly ministers are to preach and teach the holy word. All God's people are to know the word, live by the word, and counsel one another by the word of God. Our question should be, as God's saints, what does the Lord say about this matter? We are to say with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Jesus came to do the will of God. He always did what was pleasing to the Father. In his Son, the Father was well pleased. You know why? Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart." And he taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." He himself prayed that prayer as he faced the cross. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Luke 22:42. He prayed in John 17:4 that he fully obeyed the Father, giving honor to him. And the Father raised his Son from the dead and highly exalted him. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Savior and Judge of all. He alone is sovereign and has all authority. So we are to do things if it is the Lord's will. Paul says in Acts 18:21, "But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will." Romans 1:10, "And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you." And Peter says the same thing, 1 Peter 3:17, "It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Friends, we are tempted daily to do the will of the devil. But as God's people, we submit to God by doing his will, and we resist the devil and he flees from us. For Christ Jesus is the victor who defeated the devil once for all by his death and resurrection. The unbeliever can only do the will of the devil. Every unbeliever. And maybe you are one of those. I preach the truth that you may repent and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The unbeliever can only do the will of the devil. God has made us able to do God's will per se, non peccare. We are born of God. Holy Spirit dwells in us. He is our guide. He is our strength. So we can do all things through him who gives us strength. So we live. We will live if the Lord wills. We will work if the Lord wills. We shall do this or that in the will of God, so we listen carefully to the counsel of the parents, teachers, and godly pastors. We must pray, plan, study, get a job, get married to a godly spouse, raise godly children. We must worship, witness, love God's holy people, and grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the Word. Friends, the purpose of this very brief life is to know God in Jesus Christ and serve him, making him known to the world. Friends, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Did you read J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary, his article Christians the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. The purpose of Christian life is to do good works, that is, to obey God to God's glory. And so we read, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Ephesians 5:16, redeem the time. Make most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Ephesians 4:28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but let him work with his hands, doing something useful, that he may have something to share with those in need. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Obey God. Philippians 1:22, if I am to go on living in the body, that will mean fruitful labor for me, that is, for God. We have to do the will of God, sir. Good works. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so on. Romans 16:12, greet Tryphona and Tryphosa who worked hard among you. Greet Persis who worked very hard in the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so on. An idle man is a wicked man, and he should be put out of the church. He violates the fourth commandment. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6-8, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you have received from us. This is what Jesus did to the lazy man who received one talent. Then the man who had received the one talent came, Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. You see, your problem, sir. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master said, you wicked and lazy servant. Verse 30, chapter 25 of Matthew, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, come as an obedient child of God in prayer. He will answer your prayer and guide you in the will of God, in the way you should go, for his glory and your eternal happiness. God's people are rich toward God and rich in good works. The wicked boasts in his achievements. He boasts in himself. We know from the scripture what is good, and we do what is good, thus fulfilling God's purpose for our life. We do not boast in ourselves or in our achievements. All our achievements are fruits of God's grace. So we boast in God. We boast in our weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me ask you a few questions, sir, by way of application. Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ to do His will all of life? Then you have nothing to worry. Jesus has given you eternal life. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Number three, either you die in Christ and go to heaven, or you die in your sins and go to eternal misery. Number four, you are just a mist, a wild flower that appears for a little while and disappears. Receive eternal life from Christ and live forever in service to God like the angels in heaven. Number five, know what is good and do what is good, such as, children, obey your parents. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Husband, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, provide for your family. Study the word, pray and worship God privately, in the family, in the church, with God's saints. Number six, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Number seven, business is a spiritual activity. It's not a sin. Lydia, Aquila, and Priscilla were business people. Number eight, making a profit in business is righteous, not sinful. Number nine, work 6 days a week and you shall not lack money. Number 10, live a debt-free life to God's glory. Number 11, give to God, give it to the needy, and save for retirement, your own retirement. It's all godly. Number 12, do what is right, not what you like. Number 13, what is right is the will of Christ. Number 14, there is blessing for covenant keeping. Number 15, there is curse for covenant breaking. And number 16, you don't need to pray, friends, whether you should get up in the morning, whether you should get dressed, whether you should brush your teeth, whether you should go to school, or whether you should go to work, or whether you should pay your bills. You don't have to pray. It is the right thing to do. Don't waste time praying whether it is right to get up in the morning. It is right. Heavenly Father, we pray that you help us to hear your word. And we heard your word. Help us to do your word and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.